Today on Knowing Christ, Pastor Rich Burkle will again share a message from God's Word with the desire that we grow our relationship with Christ. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us each week for Rich's verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture.
Can I caution you against anyone who offers you special access to God through some other medium than the plain gospel, which is accessible to every person? The Jesus of Scripture is too complete to need additional revelation. The Jesus of Scripture makes himself too accessible to require secret paths to find him.
Here's Rich with an introduction for this week's message.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we learn about the strength of weakness. You know, one of the joys of being a granddad is that I get to sing some of the children's songs all over again. And one of the songs that I sing with my grandchildren is that song, "He's Still Working on Me, to Make Me What I Ought to Be." And you know, the truth is, for every one of us, praise God, he's still working on us. Even though I'm now entered in my 60s, God still is doing a work to fashion me more and more into the image of his son. I see more of the ways that I need to be fashioned. And yet it's exciting that though my outer man is decaying, my inner man is receiving the benefit of growth. And growth is always exciting. And so today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn more about this growth. We learn more of God's good work in us to make us more into the image of Christ. And that's exciting. I pray that this is exciting to think about for you too. God bless you.
Listen to Paul tell us of one of the many elevated experiences he had with God. He just tells one of them now. We know that there are many. Verse 1, "I must go on boasting." He's about ready to tell a story that if it happened to me, I'd tell it every day for the rest of my life. To anybody who hear it, hey, do you know what happened to me? And he said, "Oh, I got to go on boasting. I have to tell this story to you, because if I don't tell this story to you, you're going to be more open to these super apostles telling their stories, and you're going to be drawn away from them as though they have the Holy Spirit and I don't." He says that there's nothing to be gained by it. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it, for such an experience? There's nothing to be gained by my telling the story. Why does he say that? He says, because I've told you the one message by which there's everything to gain. There's nothing to be added to the message, the one message of Jesus Christ and his gospel that can add spiritual life and benefit to you. Not my story, not someone else's story. Don't get excited about this, is what he's saying. Get excited about Jesus. That's what we need to get excited. That's the most amazing story of all. He says, but I'm going to go on to visions and revelations of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you some, because the super apostles boasted about their revelations and visions. They boasted of their wisdom, their spirituality, their leadership abilities, their powerful impact on people. They say, hey, God speaks to us directly. He does it all the time. In fact, we have it to a formula. We can teach you how to do it too. Follow us. Don't follow that weak, self-centered, small man named Paul. Paul hates to make his own boast, but if he doesn't defend his apostleship, the gospel will be lost in this church. If the gospel's lost, everything's lost. So he goes on, like in verse 2, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven." And I love this. He says, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know." And you know, people always ask, "Do you think Paul was in the body or out of the body when he went to heaven?" I don't know. That's my answer. Paul doesn't know. He says, God knows. In fact, he mentions it twice. He says that, he repeats that little phrase. Isn't it interesting? We're so curious about the things that we ought not to be curious about. And Paul makes this mention of it. He says, we're not going to be curious. And if that's, whoa, what do you think that is? He says, I know that this man was caught up, raptured, up into paradise. Again, in the body, out of the body, I don't know. God knows. In other words, was it a spiritual thing, or did my body actually leave the earth? I don't know. He says, and he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. He says, there's some secret things about this that I'm actually not allowed to even speak about. What are those secret things? Isn't that making me like, hey, tell me about this. You can't just say that, Paul. You gotta tell me the secret. Nope, I'm not, because you know why? It would detract from the one message that I've told you. And you get distracted by this other thing that has no life-giving power to it. I don't want you to think about this message that I listened to in heaven, because it would take you away from the message that God sent me to proclaim to you, which offers life to you and life to the church. I want you to notice four important details of this experience. First, Paul doesn't tell anybody about this experience for 14 years. How long would it take me before I'd tell somebody if that happened to me? That afternoon? For sure, by the next morning. 14 years he kept that under wraps. No suggestion that anyone else knew about it. Why did Paul wait so long? Answer, because it wasn't that important. This experience of being transported to heaven is not essential to Paul's ministry of reconciliation. Paul keeps the first things first, and this experience is not among the first things. Paul knows that people are dangerously attracted to a story of this kind, and so he avoids it. 14 years. Can I caution you against anyone who makes an experience like this central to their life and to their ministry? Would you allow me to caution you against being drawn away to them? Jesus is too important to be crowded out by the spotlight of elevated experiences. Second, notice Paul's testimony about this experience. It's brief, it's very vague, it's cautious, and it's really humble. He talks about it in the third person. Now, we know later that it's him, but he talks about it in the third person. He doesn't make the details of this amazing event the focus of his message, even of his own life story. He doesn't promise to help other people to have this experience too if they follow after him. The super apostles did that. He doesn't even use this experience to raise money. You know, he's raising money for the poor people in Jerusalem. Do you think if he could write a little book and that would really provide everything that the people in Jerusalem needed? He doesn't use it to raise any money, to sell books, to gain an audience. He doesn't say, hey, come tonight because tonight I'm going to tell you about when I went to heaven. You know, you think the church would be full, you know, the week before, prayer meeting, not many people come. Next week, Paul's going to tell us about what happened when we went to heaven. Wah! You know, everybody fills the church. He doesn't do that. He's very vague. He's very brief. He does not tell most of what happened to him because he knows Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we might do all the words of the law, that we might be transformed people. Can I caution you against anyone who uses an experience like this to make money or to gather a following? Would you allow me to caution you? Jesus is too astounding to be impressed by elevated experiences. Third, Paul is reluctant to tell his experience. He, in fact, even calls himself a fool for having to share it with the church. He understands the danger that people would move away from Jesus and into mysticism. In his letter to the churches in Colossae, Paul warns about Christian mysticism. This was what he said. He says, let no one disqualify you. You're on the path toward life, toward heaven, toward the glory of God. Don't let anyone disqualify you, as they, church leaders, insist on what? The worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind because we're drawn to these kind of experiences and want more of them, not holding fast to the head, Jesus, simple devotion to Jesus. It's from Jesus that the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that truly is from God. Don't trade a growth that's from God with a growth that's from experiences. Can I caution you against anyone who goes into details about visions and is proud to offer more than the Jesus of the Bible offers you? Can I caution you against that? Jesus is too valuable to trade for the trinkets of mysticism. Here's the truth. If you seek an experience, you will lose Jesus. But if you seek Jesus, you will have all the experiences you need. I believe that there is amazing experience, that God uses amazing elevated experiences in the lives of believers. But we're to seek Jesus, and when we seek Jesus, everything else will be added to us. And if we chase after some experience, we'll lose Jesus. And if we lose Jesus, we lose everything. Fourth, Paul's elevated experience is not initiated by anything that Paul does, but is initiated solely by God. Paul doesn't share a roadmap for us about how others can repeat this experience or he himself can enter back into it. Paul doesn't provide a formula to have access to these events. The life-giving truth of the gospel does not rest upon subjective, untestable claims. The life-giving truth of the gospel rests upon the objective, historic events of Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection. You know, we have churches whose ministry, just like they did in the first century, 21st century, we have churches whose ministry is built upon offering Jesus plus elevated spiritual experiences. They have classes that will teach you how you too can bypass Jesus as your mediator and you can experience the direct voice of the Holy Spirit. They convince people that Jesus can be encountered in special ways through mystical practices, practices that are not discovered in the Word of God. These new revelations of Jesus promise to be much more exciting, much more life-changing, much more joy-inducing than the simple Jesus who reveals himself to us on the page of Scripture. Can I caution you against anyone who offers you special access to God through some other medium than the plain gospel, which is accessible to every person? The Jesus of Scripture is too complete to need additional revelation. The Jesus of Scripture makes himself too accessible to require secret paths to find him. Now, with all that said, I believe that God often uses elevated experiences to encourage our faith and to strengthen us for some trial ahead. I have had too many times when I've opened up my Bible and experienced God in a way that's inexplicable. I found myself weeping over the pages of God's Word as God meets with me in a moment of my need, expressing his love to me, expressing his conviction to me, expressing his ministry to me. I've had occasions where God intervened to communicate a clear, specific direction when I felt confused about important ministry matters. I've had very specific ministry of experiences of comfort in a time of deepest distress. They're experiences I can't explain. I can only know that God met with me with these. I've never asked for these experiences. I don't find that ever in the page of Scripture that we should ask for them. I've never sought these experiences, but God has graciously given them to me. The memory of them even now helps me when Satan buffets my mind with doubts and fears. So here Paul is taken up to paradise. He calls the place of God's presence, the garden of God, where God meets with his people and walks with them in a personal companionship. I'm reminded of Jesus hanging on the cross, the same words used for paradise, when the sinner who had been separated from God says, "Remember me." And Jesus says, "This day you'll be with me." It's the place where God's presence dwells. "This day you'll be with me." And this is the place which is the ultimate end for every one of God's children, every one of us. Paul knows that, and he longs for that place, not because he had a vision of it, but because the gospel promised it and described this place to him. It's a place where God dwells. And where God dwells, there is ultimate happiness for everyone who is found in Jesus Christ. I believe that most of you who are born again can point to elevated experiences. I believe that. I've talked to too many of you, and I hardly know any person who's born again, has a testimony of God's life in their soul, who can't point to some elevated experience. I think this is common among the saints. To be sure, there are varying degrees. I've had nothing like what Apostle Paul talks about, but I'm not the Apostle Paul. But I've had something of these elevated experiences. Now, if you are a believer and have not yet had such an elevated experience, I'd say do not seek it. It's not that important. We are nowhere encouraged to pray for such experiences. And I believe that God loves you. And if you need an elevated experience to grow more like Jesus, your Father is going to provide you with one. He knows exactly what we need, and he provides it wonderfully. The sanctifying impact of these experiences upon our soul is threefold. First, these elevated experiences may humble us. They can make us think how small and unworthy we are and take away all boasting ourselves. That's Paul here. These elevated experiences may convince us of God's love for us. They make our hearts glad and praise that God cares for us and is very personal and real in our lives. And these elevated experiences may prepare us, and I think this is the most important thing, may prepare us to stand firm in faith during dark times of spiritual attack. I think this is primarily why Paul is given this experience, so he can stand firm. The whole world is calling him a liar. Now, Paul warns us that elevated experiences indeed can damage our souls, even elevated experiences that are from the Lord. He says that I was in danger of being conceited. Look at verse 5. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own I will not boast except in my weakness. Verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it. And why is that? So that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. He doesn't want any attention. He doesn't want anybody clamoring after him because he's had an experience. He wants people to see Jesus through the message that he's proclaiming, and the power of the Holy Spirit to be unleashed as people embrace the gospel for themselves. You know, it is sad that I must say more words of caution about elevated experiences than I do of affirmation, but I affirm them. But I must express more words of caution because Satan so often uses counterfeit experiences, and so often in the evangelical community, I've mourned over how many dear brothers and sisters have gone chasing after these spiritual experiences, and I believe to their great detriment to the loss of life in Jesus Christ. The dangers of spiritual experiences I've just listed for you before we move on, they can be counterfeit and not authentic. You know, in Lamentations, and there's several places in the Old Testament, Jesus himself warns about false Christ coming and deceiving many through miracles. But here's what God says through Jeremiah in Lamentations 2. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. He says, that's your prophets. That's people who claim to speak for me. They have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes. Lo and behold, hardly any of these visions bring conviction of sin. They don't expose sin. They tell you how great everybody is and how amazing the church is and the person is and how God has this amazing plan where everything's going to go great. But they're not visions that expose our sin, that don't bring a gospel response of conviction, repentance, and faith so we can connect to the real Jesus. He goes on to say in Lamentations 2:14, but they have seen for you oracles, that's visions, that are false and they're misleading. Dangers of spiritual experiences, they can be counterfeit and not authentic. Please know that's true. Secondly, they can tempt us to feel superior to others. It's terrible. That's what Paul says. I don't want anybody to boast in me about this. Third, they can tempt us to evaluate our worship by something other than our obedience. And this is really big, you know. How do I know that I'm walking close with God? Because I have these experiences. That's why I wouldn't have these experiences if I weren't walking so close with God. Everything's great in my life with God. And all the while, moment after moment, day after day, there is habitual, active disobedience to the commandments of God, and they just brush right back. But hey, everything between me and God is great. How do you know that? Because you're disobeying his commands. You're doing so willfully, boldly. How do you know everything? Because that's not the Bible I read. Well, because I'm having these experiences, that's why. Fourth, they can tempt us to criticize Jesus' servants. That's what's happening here. Jesus' true ambassadors who bring the gospel. Oh, those guys are boring. We have something so much greater. Don't listen to them. Follow after us. That's what they're doing to the Apostle Paul. Fifth, they can tempt us to become dependent on them. What do I need? I don't need more Jesus. What I need is another experience. Six, they can tempt us to diminish God's word. Who needs God's word when I can have a fresh word right now directly from the Holy Spirit today? And they can tempt us to take our eyes off of Jesus. That's the most damning effect of pursuing these mystical experiences. So what is most important to God about his experience with God? You know, he begins the story by saying, I know a man in Christ. I love that. So what's most important as he tells the story to the Corinthian church, who's enamored with false apostles and their visions and dreams? He says, well, let me tell you, I know a man who's in Christ. What is he saying? He said, of everything that I have to boast about, I am a man who is in Christ. That's what I boast about. I am a person who's sinful. I'm like a clay jar, but I am in Christ. I have this treasure in me. The treasure is not of me, it is in me. It is Christ Jesus living in me. I am a man in Christ. The basis of Paul's exuberance and confidence is not his elevated experience, but is his standing in Jesus. Earlier he wrote, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone's a man or a woman in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, everything's become new. It's the most dramatic transformation. So here it is, friends, most significant question that I have for you is not whether you've had mystical experiences, but whether you are a man or a woman who is in Christ. I want to ask you that because this is the foundation of all spiritual life. This is the key that opens heaven's doors for you. And yes, for those of you who are paying attention, I'm not going to get to the rest of this message until next week. So don't worry. This is too important. You know, God does use elevated spiritual experience. And I thank God for the ones he's given to me. I don't know whether he'll ever give me another one or not. I don't anticipate, I don't pray for it, I don't seek after it, I don't need it. Unless the Father says I need one and then he'll come alongside. They have varied effects. Sometimes they really bring me low because those experiences cause me to see my own pride, my own sin, and I'm crushed by them. What do I do when I have such experience? Well, I go to Christ and I find consolation, I find comfort, I find help. I find one whose arms are open to me. Sometimes they lift me up in great praise to God with a kind of exuberance that I need to pass on to myself and to others that though this world is so much wrong, so much hard, and so much painful in this world, we are a people of joy and thanksgiving. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, and there's no reason for us to have our heads hanging down and in discouragement, grumbling, and complaining about anything. I need those things. And thank God that when he gives those events, but here's, what do they do? What do those experiences do? They lead me back to the cross of Christ, which is my ultimate exaltation. It's the ultimate conviction that God loves me. God cares for me. You know, sometimes when I've had trouble, there's a time that the doctor told me I was within a couple minutes of dying because of a distress in my body, an anaphylactic shock, and I experienced the peace of God. I can't explain anything else. I wasn't afraid. I was a young man, about 20 years old, and I thought, okay, God, I'm ready. And there was this amazing peace. There was no fear. But when I go through times of fear and anxiousness now, what does that experience lead me to do? Go to Christ. Because Christ is my confidence then, and Christ is my confidence now. And all of these things are intended to sanctify us so that we would fix our eyes on Jesus. Amen and amen.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray for you. We pray that those who listen to this radio ministry would be strengthened in their walk with Jesus, that they would know him more and more in their life, and in discovering more of him, find greater joy in him and love unto him. We want to encourage you in your own spiritual walk with Christ. And at the beginning of a year, it's nice to be able to reflect upon the past, what God has done, and upon the future, what we hope God to do. And one resource that's been sort of stimulating to me throughout my life has been A.W. Tozier's The Pursuit of God. If you would like this resource, we would love to send it to you. We would pray that it would be used to deepen your faith and your walk and your worship of the Lord. And so please just connect with us and let us know that you would like for us to send this free gift to you. And it would be our joy and our privilege to be part of God's plan for you in your worship and your witness and your work for him. May God bless you today.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.